Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
It's cold around the country. I think it's almost cold around the world. When it gets to be 24 degrees in the state of Florida, you know that it is cold. Makes you wonder, is there really a, what does Al Gore call it? A cold freeze? Anyways, it's cold and it's frozen my brain, but not my tongue. So we're going to talk for the next 48 minutes here on Mom Talk Radio. Really excited to have you with me. It means the cold means that our kids have probably been cooped up inside, which means that we're all insane and we need a little bit of a break. So I hope I'm your break this week here on Mom Talk Radio. We have a really great show lined up for you. And we also have a birthday in the house. Yes, our host, me, Maria Bailey, is celebrating her birthday weekend. And I'm very excited about it. This year, I decided to embrace the birthday. And I actually celebrated yesterday, and I did it with 9 of my closest and dearest girlfriends, and we had a cold, very cold weekend on the beach, listening to none other than Lynyrd Skynyrd. My favorite, like Freebird and Sweet Home Alabama, were the theme songs of the weekend, and good times were had by all. You know, it's amazing when your kids get a little bit older and suddenly they are approaching adulthood, although I swear that they aren't really adults until their brain fully matures, which I hear is around 25. But yeah, one of my children who, I don't know, gives me the advice the other day, Mom, maybe you should drink some Pedialyte if you're going to drink because you're not really good at drinking. So Pedialyte, I guess, is the secret of young adults and college students. Anyways, the secret today is that if you can't swallow a prenatal vitamin, you can go to Premama because they have one for you. Drinkpremama.com is the sponsor of Mom Talk Radio. And we're excited with all of their new products. They're actually kicking off and launching some really cool products. They're the supplements that you need from the time that you stop birth control until the time that you're breastfeeding and not getting any sleep at night. So go to drinkpremama.com and you can find all of their products in online at Amazon or in CVS, Target, and other specialties. When we return, we're going to be talking with Holly Reed. She is the award-winning author, speaker, and financial educator, and the founder of the Master Playbook. Really excited because as we kick off the new year, we want to all get financially fit. And we're going to do that in just a minute with Holly Reed.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
So as many of you know, I'm often in an airport traveling for business. And I recently came across a book as I was going through the Atlanta airport. It was called, there was two things that got my attention. The title, Teach Your Children to Fish. Then the second part of the title, 5 Money Habits Every Child Should Master. Well, what got my attention, of course, is I love to fish. And secondly, I think teaching your children about money is one of the most important, if not the important, after character traits, of course, and manners, that we can teach our children. So I immediately said, I have got to get the author of this book on Mom Talk Radio. And here she is this week, Holly Reed. She's an award-winning author, speaker, a financial educator. She is the author of Teach Your Children to Fish, 5 Money Habits Every Child Should Master. And I am delighted to have her here on Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Holly.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So I just want to throw in one caveat that every single one of my children that live in the United States currently got a copy of your book for Christmas, and all of them are over the age of 18. But I thought the book was so good that I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter what age my kid is. These are really good lessons, and they all read it. So congratulations.
Thank you so much for sharing the book. You are absolutely right. I don't care if you're a student now or if you are, you know, over 18 at this point. There is no way you can magically know something that you were never taught. So learning some basic, healthy money habits is always great, a great refresher and a great reminder, and something just like time management, always something that you can do to improve what you're doing today.
Why did you title the book, Teach Your Child to Fish? Like, what is the fishing connotation in there?
Well, I just absolutely loved and was drawn to the old adage, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. And so in my personal experience, you know, as I've been learning about money over the course of my life, I thought this was an excellent proverb, Chinese proverb, actually, that we can apply to money management as well. The concept of personal finance and money management can be such an intimidating topic. I mean, even for adults, especially if you've never learned much about it, or if you yourself don't have a particularly good track record with it. Mm-hmm, and so I really wanted to create a resource that would simplify, break it down, give parents a place to start with their kids, just to start having these very important money conversations.
There's a lot of things that a mom, let's say, of a six-year-old is trying to teach her child. Why should money be a part of that? And is it something that we can put off?
Yes, you can put it off, but you have to be ready to suffer the consequences. So, you know, when we don't teach money management at an early age, we are giving society, our consumer-driven society, a head start in implanting what the society values, what the culture values, materialism, you know, spending more than you have, getting everything that you want today. And so we've got to start creating opportunities. We can turn everyday errands into money lessons, from going to the grocery store to, you know, driving around and having your kids identify all the jobs that they see, you know, when you are out running your errands. We can start making that a part of our daily conversations. And the benefit is, again, like I said, if we don't start now, we're giving our society and our culture a head start to ingrain some poor thinking around money. And we want to avoid that at all costs, if at all possible.
That's true. So, how about, you know, we want everyone to buy the book. I want everybody to buy the book, and I'm sure you do as well. But can you give moms a couple of tips that can just get them started today while they're waiting for Amazon to deliver it?
Yes, absolutely. So the grocery store is an easy one. I know some moms don't like to take their kids to the grocery store because they end up with a basket full of things that weren't necessarily on the list. But it's a great opportunity just to get them ingrained with how much do things cost? I mean, if you want this cereal, if your kids have two favorite cereals and you want to have them price compare the two cereals, which one is cheaper? Which one has, I mean, it could be a lesson on a lot of things, but focusing in on money, you could say, hey, you can have $5 to buy anything you want. How are you going to spend that $5? And so those are easy things that they can start implementing today. And I don't care how old the kids are. They could be, you know, 5 or 18 in there with you grocery shopping, and just giving them an exercise where they can budget and price compare, you know, do some price comparison would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about if we're not, I mean, if we're not very educated about money ourselves, or we Yes. have some really, really bad habits, how do we change those so that our children are watching and learning from our
Absolutely.
actions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most of our kids, they learn through observation. So that was actually going to be one of my takeaways, that you have to lead by example. So good habits, bad habits, your kids are watching and they're going to pick up on these things. If they see you constantly, you know, swiping your credit card or avoiding phone calls because it could potentially be a debt collector, all of these things, you know, while you may not speak to them directly, your kids are picking up on these things, and it's giving them an impression of how money should be handled. So this book is great because I'm kind of being sneaky about it. When I first sat down to write the book, I really wanted to target adults. But I was like, you know what? There's so many resources. And when I took a look, there was a gap with our kids and giving them the basics. So I think going through these money habits, I believe the parents themselves will see where there may be a gap in how they're managing the money or a gap in how they handle money, which will hopefully change their behavior. And in changing their behavior, it gives your child a better model to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about, we have 1 minute left, where can moms go to find the book?
Absolutely. Please take a look at my website. You can find it on themasterplaybook.com/shop. It's also available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So it's easily findable if you want to just put in the search, Teach Your Child to Fish, Holly Reed, R-E-I-D. They should be able to find it pretty quickly.
Yeah, and you can find it in the Atlanta airport right there in T-Terminal. So thank you so much, Holly, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And for you moms out there that aren't teaching your children good money habits, even if you, like, we had some really bad habits in our family, and I said, you know what? I am going to break the cycle with my kids. I might be doing this, but I'm breaking the cycle with my kids, and I've taught them to do a different behavior. So, do it today, because Lord knows, wouldn't it be nice to raise children that were financially responsible? When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on a mom, Amanda Johnson, who has an Instagram called Journey with the Johnsons. Then you're going to want to hear all about it.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Very excited to have with me a fellow Floridian, although we're both called Floridians today, Amanda Johnson. She is from Tampa and has two children. She's got an Instagram following that's very, very active. Journeys with the Johnsons is where you find her on Instagram, and she's joining us here on Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. So you do so many interesting things, and without feeling like I'm jumping around a lot, I want to touch on as many as possible, because I just I'm pretty amazed at some of the things that you do. And let's start with empowering stay-at-home moms. I like to call them the in-home moms. How do you do that, and why are you so passionate about that?
Well, when I moved, we moved here from Louisiana, and when we moved here, I quit my job, you know, after having my second child. I quit my job, and I felt, you know, when I moved here, I didn't really have a purpose, you know. I felt really lost. I felt like all I was doing was taking care of kids all day, and, you know, when we started going to Disney, we got passes, and we started going to Disney there, and my kids started seeing all of these amazing outfits that they wanted, and they wanted me to recreate. And after I started learning how, I taught myself how to sew. And after I started doing that, I started feeling more of a purpose. You know, I want stay-at-home moms to find a purpose and not feel like all they have to do is sit at home and take care of kids all day. Find something for them. I say it's for them, but you know, it's partly for me too, because I have found something that makes me happy and makes me feel really fulfilled doing it for them.
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit about the unique and creative outfits that you've found in the theme parks?
Well, when you go to Disney, you see a lot of Cinderellas, and you see a lot of, you know, Snow White, you see a lot of princesses. But we found that my kids wanted the outfits of a lot of the cast members. If you've ever seen the Charlie Girls, a lot of people just walk past them and they don't even think, you know, about them. But my kids really loved them and enjoyed them. So I said, well, if that's what they love and enjoy, let's, you know, do that. And my little girl, she loves guest relations, which is, you know, something very strange that most people don't think about. She loves going to guest relations and talking to them. So that's what we did. We have a guest relations vest. And, you know, it's just not the normal outfit that you think of when you think of Disney, but they love it. They love it so much. And if that's what they want, I usually try to make it happen for them.
So, that's very funny. So do you use a pattern for that, or do you just do it right off the top of your head?
I do not. I do not know how to use patterns, which a lot of people find very, very strange for somebody who sews as much as I do. I taught myself how to sew basically from YouTube videos and tutorials online. I've never had a formal class, so I basically learned by taking their old clothes, tracing them, and just trying to make it work, praying that it works. A lot of times it's a lot of trial and error.
Well, that's awesome. I never thought about tracing old clothes, but I also do not know how. I took sewing like when I was little, but I don't know how to use patterns either. I don't really know how I do it, but I used to make my kids jumpers, like every holiday had a different jumper. And I guess I made my own pattern. So good for you. That's really cool. That's very cool. You know, sewing is one of the.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say sewing is one of those lost arts. And my kids grew up, I taught them how to sew. And my youngest has two different sewing machines, and everyone's always amazed that she knows how to sew. And anyhow, even my boys know how to thread a needle and sew. So good for you. Real quickly, because we only have a minute left, can you tell us where moms can find you on social media?
Right now, I'm only on Instagram, Journeys with the Johnsons, but I post everything that I do on there. We have a lot of really fun, you know, creative outfits coming up that I think that I'm working really hard on this year. So 2018 should be a good year. A lot of very interesting and stuff that I hope everyone hasn't seen before. So we're really excited about that. And you can find us there. I'm on there every day.
Well, that is very, very cool. And we have a link to you on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you so much for sharing part of your day with us. When we return, we've got the author of Body Full of Stars, Female Rage, and My Passion into Motherhood.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I'm delighted to have with us Molly Caro May. She's the author of Body Full of Stars, Female Rage, and My Passion into Motherhood. She's a writer whose work explores body, place, and the foreign familiar dichotomy that it presents. She is the author of many things. She's been in many magazines, including Elle and other, and she's a co-founder of the Thunderhead Writers Collective. She's here on Mom Talk Radio, and we're very appreciative of that. Thank you for being here today, Molly.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, female rage and motherhood, not three words that I would think to put together, but can you kind of explain that for me?
Yeah, I think we have this world of perinatal mood disorder, and oftentimes we talk about depression, and women imagine themselves crying on a couch, which definitely was my experience. But my primary experience was just a lot of anger, and trying to source it and figure out if it was hormonal, if it was situational. And I didn't feel like I had any resources, or I hadn't heard of a lot of women experiencing this sort of anger out of nowhere. So that's the narrative of the story. And I really wanted to open that conversation, because the more I talk to women, the more I realize actually it's pretty common to go through bouts of anger and rage, different for each person, but it's not uncommon.
And where do you think that anger stems from? Do you think it is part of like a collision of hormones and maybe being overwhelmed and lack of sleep? I mean, where do you think it comes from?
Yes, I think it is 100% a collision of many things. And, but you know, when we look at the sort of the sociological global view, I think we come from an ancestry, the women do, of a lot of suppression. And I think this stuff lives in our bodies. And for me, I felt a lot of anger that was specific to my life. And I also felt a whole bunch of anger that was not mine, but maybe my grandmother's and my mother's. And I really believe that that's stored in the body. And then we go through these hormonal gateways like childbirth or menses or menopause, and everything opens up to be felt. So, you know, and you look at what's happening now in the world, or in America at least, and, mm-hmm. you know, women's rage is up. It's always been up, but now it's really up publicly, and there's a big shift happening. So, yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because you sound very intelligent and very in tune to being a female, not only physically, but emotionally and psychologically and physically in the world too, like a woman's place. With all of this rage that you just described that is up right now with women, why do you think that equal pay hasn't gotten the same amount of rage that other things have gotten? Now, granted, I know it would be terrible to be sexually abused or mistreated in that way or harassed, but the financial equality of women just seems to take the back seat so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good question. My very gut response is because the sexual abuse, any of the body-oriented issues, are primal and really animal. And I think the physical response that women have to that sort of overshadows the more intellectual. We should be paid more, which is clearly equally important. But I think there's less of a like a primal response in the body.
Yeah,
I
guess
your quick answer.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I thought about that last week, and I really, it's been in my brain and haven't been able to say it out loud to anyone. You just seem to be, but you know, when the pay inequality of came out with Wahlberg, you know, being paid $1.5 million and then his co-star $80 a day, it didn't really seem to like catch women's attention. Mm-hmm. Like nobody, mm-hmm. you know, I kept looking for a hashtag that was hashtag pay me too. You know what I mean? And nobody really, you know, was like, oh, okay, well that could happen. I guess their agents didn't negotiate it well. And I'm like, wait a minute, let's stand up for this, you know? So
no,
that's why
I
asked that question. That's why I asked that question, because every woman has been paid less, I guarantee you, than a man.
Absolutely.
So what do you hope women get out of your book?
I hope to normalize women and moods. Oftentimes it's sort of laughed at, oh, women, they're so hormonal, they're moody, et cetera. And I think we have this engineered system in our body, which is essentially our menstrual cycle, that is designed to help us move through the human emotions that all humans have, regardless of your sex/gender. And so, I don't think that especially anger. You know, we don't do angry women basically until 2017 in our culture, and we definitely don't do angry mothers, because a mother is supposed to be soft and pink and gentle and all of these things we imagine. And I think that can coexist with rage. For me, it did. I was all of the above. I wasn't just raging all the time, you know? But I think it's really important for people to touch, for women to touch into that rage, to lessen the shame. That's a big piece, is lessening the shame and creating more community so that women feel comfortable to reach out to each other and to say, I have this really hard time, can I talk to you about it, without the shame piece. Because then everyone heals, right? The kids who are experiencing whatever they're experiencing, the partners, the women, everyone heals if this stuff can be talked about and aired. So that's my biggest hope, is that the conversation becomes bigger, gets aired, and with that comes healing.
Do you think the whole thing about anger, though, is when a woman expresses anger, suddenly it's the B word, you know, and we're almost not allowed to express anger, so we hold it inside.
Right. Absolutely. And women of color especially are not allowed to express anger. I mean, that's a whole different issue. I could write this book as a white woman, a middle class white woman. It was safe for me to write this book. So
yes,
it's sort of okay for me to be angry. It's definitely not okay in our society for women of color to be angry. So my big thing isn't necessarily, I think it needs to be expressed and women need to touch into their anger. But it's also about what to do with it. I don't really believe in this.
Right.
Everyone just enrage, get enraged, and let's just rage all the time.
Right.
I think it's about learning how to deal with this normal human emotion that's going to happen, and how to channel it appropriately and not misdirect it, and also heal in the process and communicate. That's a little nuance, but it's important.
Well, I want to really quickly let everyone know where they can find your book. It's on Amazon, and we have a link on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Molly, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to Dr. Jamie Reynolds, an orthodontist who's going to talk a little bit about his world-class smiles that are made in Detroit.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am delighted to have with us Bonnie Schnegel. She is a special education lawyer admitted to a practice in New York and Connecticut. She does something very unusual. She helps families assert their rights for private school tuition reimbursement. And she's here to talk to us about her specialty and how she can help parents out there who may be looking for that specialty in services. So welcome, Bonnie, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your area of expertise, and you can maybe go into it a little further because it's a little bit more complicated than the way I described.
There's this federal law called the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, called the IDEA, and that gives families certain rights if their children are disabled. And disability is a really broad term. That's kind of probably the biggest problem in this entire field. What's disabled? Your child may be dyslexic. Your child may have ADHD and appear like a walking, talking, typical person. I do not use the word normal, by the way. Language is really important here. Or you might have a child who has some very obvious physical or social emotional disability like autism, and you've known about it from birth or early childhood. All of those children are protected, and the objective of the act is to provide kids with rights in schools. And every state has its own regulations. It's sort of like a contract. States get money through this law. And kids who qualify, school districts have to identify kids within the district who have disabilities. And they've got to do this through what's called an evaluation. It's an assessment, and that's a requirement of the law. And a lot of people probably heard about this, something called an IEP. That's an individualized education program. And that has to be drafted in cooperation with the parents and based on these assessments. So once a kid has an IEP, they're entitled to a free, appropriate public education, and that means that it's an education that allows them to make meaningful progress. Whether it's socially, emotionally, or really with an academic, they're having a really rough time with math, and they have a disability with math, it's called dyscalculia, they're entitled to specialized instruction. The goodie that also comes along with the IEP is a set of goals, reporting, and if the child is not making meaningful progress, the parent has a right to either find a private school that's going to do the job right, or find outside services. So let's say you have a dyslexic child, and in year one, they have been given no help whatsoever, and you've gone to an outside service provider that teaches the child decoding and encoding, which is what dyslexic kids need to learn. You can seek reimbursement under the IDEA for what's called compensatory education, which are services that should have been delivered but were not. Or you can find a private school that teaches kids with dyslexia, for example, and seek tuition reimbursement within 2 years. You have a two-year look-back period. Many districts try to give something called a 504 plan. That's under a different law, and that just gives access. There are no goals, no reporting, and that's problematic. I help parents bring the administrative claim to get the reimbursement in order to pay for the services the children need.
So how does a parent start in this process? Because it sounds like you need a lot of documentation and that it's a lot of jumping through a lot of hoops, which may seem overwhelming. Is it engaging with someone like you? Is it like, what's the step-by-step?
Okay. So first of all, the biggest message I can send out here is put everything in writing as much as possible. You said something about documentation. That is key. Pete Wright, who's a wonderful mentor of mine and a leader in this field, says, if it wasn't written, it wasn't said. So document, if you feel that your child's having issues, let's say, and the teacher's pulling you aside and talking to you, start sending emails, please. Document. Save copies of the child's work. There is a host of information online, including on my website, schinagellaw.com. That's S-C-H-I-N-A-G-L-E, law, L-A-W.com. And an organization named called Understood has set things out very clearly. Rights Law, W-R-I-G-H-T-S-L-A-W, has information. It's a huge learning curve because there are three languages involved. There's the law, there's the educational methodology, and then there's neuropsychology, because there's a component. We're dealing with brain-based information, and the evaluations are these, you know, kind of quasi-medical assessments. So, yeah, it's a lot of, I was in this position.
It's very complicated, but well worth it for you and your child to investigate. And unfortunately, we're out of time. But the point is that it's out there. You can go to Bonnie's website and learn more about it. You can find resources through her site as well. Thank you, Bonnie, for being with us today. And I'm going to actually go into the archives and pick out one of my favorite segments from 2017 to share it with you just one more time.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am super excited to have with us today a woman who I've followed her career for a long time, Cheryl O'Loughlin. She is the CEO today of a beverage company called Rebel and the author of Killing It, an entrepreneur's guide to keeping your head without losing your heart. And she has been the CEO at Clif Bars and Plum Organics, and she's doing amazing things. She's the mom of two sons and a wife as well, doing it all at once. So welcome, Cheryl, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
So tell me what's going on in your world with Rebel and your book and melting the two together, perhaps.
Yeah, well, having the time of my life right now, I've really just absolutely fallen in love with this company, and I'll explain in a second why that's relevant to this book that I wrote. The company's called Rebel. It's R-E-B-B-L. It's a super beverage company, and it's this creamy, indulgent coconut-based elixir made from the best of the plant queendom, and it's so yummy and good, which is one of the big reasons why I'm there, because I believe so much in the product. But really importantly is that we're educating consumers on the benefits of super herbs, which it has, like turmeric, with its anti-inflammatory properties and herb adaptogens like ashwagandha that help your individual body actually adapt to stress. And what is also really important to this company, and I believe in all my heart and soul, is that it was started by a nonprofit called Not For Sale. And the whole goal is to help to eradicate modern-day human trafficking, which is 30 million people in this world are impacted by this, and it's 80% women and girls, and it's the fastest growing, believe it or not, illegal industry in the world, the second behind the drug trade, second biggest. And so what we do is, at Rebel, is we give 2.5% of the net sales of every bottle that is sold back to Not For Sale to do their work to rehabilitate people who have been trafficked. But also we work up the stream with our growers in order to help to support their livelihood so they're never vulnerable to trafficking to begin with. And so this brand and everything it stands for brings so much love into my life, because everyone in the team feels so strongly about what we're doing. And why that connects to the book, if you don't mind me going there, is that okay?
No. Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect.
So my book is called Killing It, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your Head Without Losing Your Heart. And I wrote this book actually when I was at Stanford. I had been running the Center for Entrepreneurial Studies at Stanford. And, you know, I talked to all these students who were brilliant, and they had dollar signs in their eyes because they had these professors walking through the classroom that were building, and money was growing off trees in Sand Hill Road in Silicon Valley. And I thought, my God, they don't have an understanding of really the ups and the downs that you go through in an entrepreneurial venture, and how, yeah, it can be wonderful. There's so many joys on the ride. That's why we do it, and because of the love of it. But at the same time, we need to be able to understand that there's a dark side of what happens in entrepreneurship. And it's not something that people talk about. People like to talk about the success and everybody making money. It's not like that. It's like this dirty secret that we have, that it's really, really hard. And if people are not nurturing themselves and their relationships through the process, we experience things like ADHD, bipolar disease, depression, drug abuse, divorce, and even suicide. And it's something that needs to get talked about more. And in this book, what I open up about is the hard times that I had been through as an entrepreneur. And I had experienced, due to extreme stress of a family business that we started that almost took us to bankruptcy, and starting a company at the same time, Plum, I ended up, to relieve the stress, developing anorexia. And I came out of that the other side, falling in love with this new company that I'm doing, but I'm doing it in a very different way. And that's what I share in the book, is how to approach this, really this calling to a lot of us starting companies, but approaching it in a way that's healthy and nurtures our relationships with our family and our friends, and brings love into everything we do, but doesn't get our self-worth wrapped up in our ventures to the point that as the numbers go up and down, we take ourselves up and down with it.
We have a link to the book on Mom Talk Radio. And Cheryl, I appreciate your time. I appreciate all of you guys for listening. And we'll be back next week at this time. I'm Maria Bailey. Have a great week, everyone.